why I am a Baptist. I use the passage of Scripture of the commission given to the Lord's church in Matthew chapter 28, and there in verse 18 through the remainder of that chapter, if you want to look at that, in the 28th chapter, in verse 18 through verse 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. I realize and I know that in God's providence, God saved me at an early age. He not only saved me at an early age, but He put me in a Baptist church. Now I'm thankful for that. And as a matter of fact, I'll be eternally grateful for what God has done for me, not only saving me, but putting me in a New Testament Baptist church. The Lord called me to preach when I was 16 years old. I've been preaching since I was 16. And I'm thankful and I realize and I recognize and I know why that I'm a Baptist. Now I said last Wednesday night there's some things you have to take in consideration. We know that the reason that we're saved and a member of this church, if we really believe the truth, is because of the sovereign God of heaven. And that He doeth all things well. Not only does He bring about salvation, but He also adds people to New Testament Baptist churches. The thing that is really bothering me in these last days before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is because there's people in Baptist churches and they don't have any idea why they're Baptists. As a matter of fact, they don't hardly even know why they're there, why they're even a member of that church. This leads to a lot of difficulty and a lot of problems, and we've been faced with several things in the latter days, and we wouldn't have thought that would probably come to pass. I pastored the Gilead Baptist Church, which was a Southern Baptist church, somewhere around 2 years. Our Lord led me then to feel like that I ought to go to school to maybe get some help and some teaching. And I decided, by the grace of God, to go to Lexington Baptist College. Brother Clarence Walker was the one that was insistent. And we had men like Brother Carl Sadler, Brother Ed Overby, had some of the older men that were there at that time. And then when I started to do that, then the church that I pastored, they didn't like me too well. There were some things that I believed that the Bible taught and I preached, and it really disturbed them. So then I, in order to go to Lexington Baptist College, I resigned that church. I was without a church either 1 week or 2 weeks. I went to a church over near Covington. I went over there to preach. My uncle is in that church. He was in there then and he is now. But I didn't feel any leadership of the Lord to go to that church. I came back home on Sunday night. I got back about 11:30, something like that. Telephone rang. Gibby Baptist Church, I want you to come next Sunday and preach. I went next Sunday and preached, and they called me. I spent approximately almost 3 years there while I was going to Lexington Baptist College. I was there pastoring that church when I came here and preached, and then the Lord opened the door and I came here in 1968. One of the things that I remember about Lexington Baptist College was that they stood by the same teaching that I've been teaching, why I am a Baptist. Brother Clarence Walker even endorsed this little book by H. Boyce Taylor Sr. And he put a little bit right in. It was published, and this was published by Ashland Avenue. And he put just a little bit right in the front of it. And he said this: Brother Taylor uses the name Baptist throughout this book in its true historic sense. The modernists of our day who cling to the name Baptist yet deny his word are no more Baptists than many who cling to the name Christian and have never been born again, know nothing of the saving grace of our Lord. Take the word bishop as used by most people today. One who has authority over a group of churches and preachers is not the meaning of the word in the New Testament. The bishop in the New Testament is the pastor of a local individual church. I repeat, Brother Taylor uses the name Baptist in the historic sense. That was Brother Clarence Walker. I realized that at one time our church supported Lexington Baptist College. But I felt led of the Lord to not do so several years ago. I don't remember when it was. But I want to show you a little bit of the changes. Now, we're still thinking about why I am a Baptist. I want to quote to you some of the changes that are coming about. And many times this happens, and I fear for churches when all of the older men die. I don't mean that God can't call and raise up young men to preach. I don't mean that at all. I don't mean that God can't have some that will preach the truth and stand by the truth. But many today are going the other way. I receive once a month a little report. This is from the president of the school, David Hatcher, who's the son of John Hatcher. One of the statements that's made here is, and I'm not going to read all this letter, I just underlined it, said, we have received eligibility for federal student financial aid. That's government. That's government help. Then I went on over, and I'm not going to get into all these, but they hired a man by the name of David E. Adams. He's the Jerry Falwell man. Came from down there. And he is also working here and promoting this school. He said in his letter that he wrote, he said, the Center for Youth Ministry Development, CYMD, established at the prompting of many of my colleagues in leadership of the Lord, CYMD is now reality. This umbrella organization is purpose-driven, recruiting, training, placing, networking professional youth ministers internationally, equipping and empowering God-directed youth leaders through the local church is our theme. Those of you who know me recognize this to be my ministry theme for the 24 years that I have served in youth work. My desire is for expansion this year that continues to involve youth organizations, and here's the clincher, mainline denominations. Now that means all denominations. Individual churches and training institutes. There's no need to go any farther on that. Got the copy here of a doctrinal statement, Ashland Avenue Baptist Church and Baptism. It's a lengthy thing. This was the controversy that the last conference that I went to Lexington last year, which would be a year ago this October, got into. Here's a doctrinal statement, and I want you to And you can read through it. I mean, many of these are floating around. The Ashton Avenue Baptist Church has been called into question regarding our stand on scriptural baptism. Now, I'm talking about why I'm a Baptist. Herein is presented a brief statement of our position regarding the specific matter under discussion. Attached is a copy of an article written by our pastor that gives our position on baptism and why we insist on rebaptizing those from other denominations. Now listen to that. That's good. We believe that there's only one kind of baptism taught in the Bible. We practice and preach that truth. Recently, however, that has not been enough. We have been accused of accepting alien baptism. Now listen to the statement. Because we recognize the baptism administered by some Baptist churches that accept alien immersion. We recognize the baptism administered by some Baptist churches that accept alien immersion. One of them is Trinity. They're in Lexington. The first man that went against and went to taking alien immersion was Bob Brown. Bob Brown was a big educator in the state of Kentucky. He was pastor of Trinity Baptist Church. And Bob Brown led that church and other churches in that area to start taking alien immersion. Ashland Avenue, at that time, disaffiliated and disfellowshipped with them. But now they're back in holding hands. Had a two preachers was in Lexington Baptist College, and they wrote these letters. These problems are not confined to those churches. What he starts off and what he says, in the last 2 years I have watched churches preach a watered down, feel good gospel full of psychological and sociological babble in effort not to offend anyone and to improve attendance figures. Now this is a preacher that his wife and another preacher attending Lexington Baptist College. These problems are not confined to those churches but have found their way into Lexington Baptist College. LBC was once known for its biblical foundation and strong stand for the truth. It is now a fickle, wishy-washy, believing school blown by every wind of doctrine. I want to make it understood that when the school was led by, and he names these men, that this was not true of this school. LBC has a new president, Dr. David Hatcher. That's the son of John Hatcher, the missionary with Baptist Faith Missions. I would like to share some things with you as a supporter of the school that I heard Dr. Hatcher say as what he believes and doesn't believe. These are only the ones that I personally heard him say in his theology and Christian life class. Now remember, my subject is why I'm a Baptist. He does not accept the King James Version of the Bible as a credible translation. He doesn't believe or teach election in any form. He calls himself a six-pointer, a six-point Calvinist, which I believe is an attempt at making a mockery of our beliefs. He doesn't believe in church authority. For example, he believes that I could start a church in my apartment without authority from a called-out assembly. Because of his unbelief as far as church authority, his belief of scriptural baptism is in error. He believes we can accept church letters from any denomination. He believes that anyone can baptize. Dr. Hatcher believes in a universal bride of Christ. On the Holy Spirit, he believes that the Holy Spirit was not indwelling believers in the Old Testament, even though there are many scriptural references that state 1 Peter 1, 11 and 12. He believes in a baptism of the Holy Spirit, both for the individual and the entire church. He believes God is still using the gift of tongues. He believes that women can preach. We have a young lady that is studying to preach in the school. Lastly, Dr. Hatcher believes in a new revelation through audible voice or vision. Last year, Dr. Hatcher preached from the pulpit
of Ashton Avenue Baptist Church and told of his death experience. He told of how he was in a car accident, and while he was dead, he sat in the lap of Jesus. Jesus told him not to worry because it is not his time to die yet. Jesus continued to tell him that there was a job for him to do in the United States, and Lexington Baptist College is that job, according to Dr. Hatcher. All I can say, whew. Here's another preacher. And he's talking about Dr. David Hatcher. He does not believe that God has an elect people because he refuses to believe in the justice of God. He has the strange ideas about woman's place in the ministry. I have heard him many times refer to the fact that a woman should have an equal part in the service and worship of God. He even suggests that there is nothing wrong with a woman in the ministry, although it is clearly forbidden in the New Testament. Part of that may be because he no longer reads the King James Version. In several of the teachers have gone away from the using of the King James Version altogether. I asked the student body which Bible they preferred, and 80% said the New International Version because they believe it to be the best translation. Only 6 of the students here believe that the King James Version is the only inspired Word of God. In fact, many derogatory remarks and jokes have been made toward me and the others which still hold to the King James Version. One of my Bible teachers, of course, uses the New International Version. He holds, Dr. Hatcher holds, some strange opinions on the existence of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. This is another letter now. This is a totally different person. He also teaches that we as Christians can live perfect and without sin, and he's challenged us to do so. This is a good goal to live for the Lord, but one that is contradictory to the Scripture. He does not believe in church authority because he is of the opinion that all the authority is in Jesus Christ. Therefore, because he does not believe in the true church authority, he also has strange ideas about the church itself. Oftentimes in class, he makes comments about the body of Christ being invisible. And I believe that he may hold to the opinion of a universal church altogether. He has never actually taught that in class and will not admit that he believes that. He wanted to make this school more a liberal arts Bible school instead of the fundamental school that it has always been. Many changes were made at the end of last year to get the independent fundamental Baptists out of here and to adopt the changes. And of course, the only one who doesn't refer to himself as a Baptist is David Hatcher. He believes himself to be an evangelical. He says that we are all evangelicals. Well, I just want to give you an example of what can happen. Just what can happen in just a little while. What can take place? Brother Larman told me that John Hatcher was the man that taught him church truth and was the man that taught him the doctrines of grace. And Brother Larman told me last night, he said, now from the lips of John Hatcher, he told me he did not believe either. Totally did not believe either. But I believe, and he went on there and wrote in the letter and said that, off in the four-ended chapel, and I can see this, said, there stands Clarence Walker's old pulpit. Which really, was a monumental thing. Because Clarence Walker stood and taught these truths and preached these truths. And his idea of success at the school was not liberal arts. It was not how much money that they could bring in. It was not how many students that they could get. But his purpose for the school was that truth would be propagated. And that truth would be stood for. Now,
We went through several things last Wednesday night. And one of the distinguishing marks that I brought out about why I'm a Baptist is because Baptists believe that the Bible is the only rule of faith and practice. We don't have any handbooks. We don't have any catechisms. We many times, you know, we read books. We look at quarterlies and read books, but we don't even like those to the extent of that they supersede the Bible or that we believe them before that we believe the Word of God. We also went into the thing as far as John the Baptist coming on the scene and how that John was the... And I took a lot of time and emphasized what his name was and then emphasized who he was. There was a man in John 1:6 said that was sent from God. Now look at that verse. Look at John 1:6. Look at it. I want you to see that verse. There was a man sent from God. And what does it say? And his name was J-O-H-N. And his name was John. But then if you'll go back just a little bit into the 13th chapter, and we'll notice, I believe that when Jesus was speaking concerning John and when Jesus was talking about him, in the 3rd chapter of John, and I mentioned this other Wednesday night, in that 3rd chapter, and there in verse 23 of that 3rd chapter of John, notice what it says. And John, see, he calls him John again. Now, that's his name. And John was baptizing in Enon near to Salem because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized. But if you'll back up now to the 3rd chapter of the book of Matthew and look with me in the 13th verse of the 3rd chapter of Matthew, you'll see what is said here concerning Jesus and John. Matthew 3:13. Then comes Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. So what we find is that his name was John, but we find that Jesus called him John the Baptist. He said there was not a greater born of women than John the Baptist. And so what we have is that John came for the purpose sent by God to prepare a material that Jesus would use and that he organized his first church there at Jerusalem. And from that church has come all other true New Testament churches. Now there's a lot of other churches that have come on the scene. Because even during the days of Jesus and the days of John, there was the Pharisees, there was the Sadducees, there was the Agnostics, there was the various religious cults and religious groups of that day. And in the 15th chapter of the book of Matthew, and there in verse 9, Jesus talks about these Pharisees. He said, But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And I believe that that's what's happening today. Baptists, as I stated last Wednesday night, do not believe that one church is as good as another. That can even be true among Baptist churches. Not everybody that calls them Baptists are Baptists. There's a lot of Baptist churches today don't know anything about the local, visible church because they've never been taught that. They believe that there's some that they confuse the the local church with the kingdom of God and with the family of God. And they confuse these. It makes a difference. It makes a lot of difference what church you join and what church you belong to. Now, all other churches that carry not the name of Baptist were started by men. I have thought about this, and perhaps we'll do it a little bit later on in this study, and name some of the, what we call, what that Adams called in his letter, mainline denominations, and tell you who started them. But I can pretty well give you a briefing on some of them. The Disciples were started by Alexander Kimball. Now, the Disciples have got all kinds of splinters today. And the Methodists, by John and Charles Wesley. Presbyterians, by John Calvin. And you could go on, and the Lutherans, by Luther. And you could go on and come on down to a lot of the groups that have been started even in our day, in our time. When the writer of this book, Acts chapter 5, and there in verse 29, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. So what we have is our first loyalty and allegiance is to Jesus Christ. Now, I mentioned this at the end last Sunday. I, for years, knew a lady that came to a church that I pastored. I recently talked to her pastor. I would go and witness to her husband. He belonged to what they call the Old Christian Church. The Old Christian Church was there in Newby. At one time, the Baptists used the building and the Carmelites used the building. One of the older members told me years ago when I was a young fellow pastoring there, said, boy, we used to have some red hot revival meetings. Said, the Carmelites would sit on one side and the Baptists would sit on the other. And said, we'd try to get a preacher in that would burn them up. And said, we want him to preach on salvation by grace. Can't you imagine? Can't you imagine what kind of a service that was? It was called at that time Maple Grove Baptist Church and Newby Christian Church. And they met in the same building. And how that then later on, under the leadership of Brother Walker came there and held a revival meeting. He told him, he said, you all are not going to ever amount to anything unless you get out of this mess. And so what he did, he told them, he said, give them the building and everything. And they did. And they relocated and they renamed themselves. They changed their name from Maple Grove Baptist Church to Newby Baptist Church, where I was saved and scripturally baptized. And this was years ago, under the leadership of Brother Walker, when he would come there and he saw what confusion and what a mess it was. Now, you can't make a Carmelite a Baptist. Only God can. You can try all you want to, but only God can. You can argue with them all you want to no avail. So we find that sometimes it even means that this one lady, her husband went right on to church there. She went with the Newby Baptist Church. He stayed with the Carmelites. And I tell you, I thought she was putting up a good fight. And all these years, and in just the last year or so, the pastor there told me, he said, he went and joined a Baptist church in Richmond. And they took his alien baptism. And I said, how terrible. Because he didn't have any baptism at all. It was baptism without authority. And the sad part was, she joined with him. And so what did the church do? The church said, we could not give her a letter. And we did not. So what had happened? And I've seen this happen through the years. Look in the 10th chapter of the book of Matthew and notice with me. And I realize, and I realize this is a hard saying. And Jesus brought this out in the 10th chapter of Matthew in verse 34 through 36. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Now, I don't mean that Jesus just came to cause strife and cause people to be out with one another in this 10th chapter, verse 34, 35, and 36. But he said in verse 36, and a man's foe shall be they of his own household. And Jesus makes it very plain. He said, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and he that taketh not his cross and followeth me is not worthy of me, and he that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. What he's saying is this. It may come that even in your own family that you have to take a stand against your family for the truth. Now, that's what it means. And what he says that you're to do is to stand. Is to stand. It's not easy. It's a hard thing. So Baptists reject all other baptism except Baptist baptisms, and we even reject many Baptist baptisms. Because it has been the policy of our church. And this is not a new policy. This is something that our church has always believed here, even from the time that it was organized, and always stood for, that we do not grant letters to or receive letters from any church that recognizes in any form, fashion, or any way, alien immersion or alien baptism. We do not. And also even that are open in the Lord's Supper. And I might add another, and that we'll take our disciplined members. That's just as much a knock against the Lord's church as anything else. When you have a person under discipline of that church, and another Baptist church will take them without any question, without any consideration, what they're saying is that they do not recognize your authority whatsoever, and do not recognize you as a church. So Baptists reject all other baptisms except Baptist baptisms, which is the only kind in the Bible, and Jesus and His apostles had it. To reject Baptist baptism is to follow the Pharisees instead of following Jesus, and they were despisers of the church of God, which was built out of persons baptized by the first Baptist preacher, which was John the Baptist. I thought about And Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 28. I've got a lot of material. I'm going to stop, but I've got a lot of material, but I'm going to stop. The Lord being my stopper. 1 Corinthians 12, 28. God has set some in the church, and here they are. First apostles. Who baptized them? John the Baptist. Secondarily, prophets. Thirdly, teachers. After that, miracles. Then gifts of healing. Helps, government, diversities of tongues. Let's go to Acts chapter 1 from there. And notice in Acts chapter 1, this verse of Scripture, two verses, verse 21 and verse 22. And here's what it said. It said, when he's talking about Judas Iscariot that we studied about. Look at verse 20. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. Wherefore of these men which have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, notice, beginning from the baptism of John, must have had the baptism of John. Under that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. So what we find is Baptists reject all other baptisms except Baptist baptisms. This isn't anything new.
I'm thankful that I heard this when I was first saved. I'm thankful the Lord placed me in a church that taught the truth and stood for this. It was an unheard of thing. No one would even consider anything else at that time, and that's not been that long ago. But then I thought, my, this grieves me. This grieves me. You know, there's some things grieving. You all remember what a bad shape I was in last year when I came back from the conference at Bryan Station on Wednesday night? I tell you what, I was about in because of being grieved over this very thing. And then what I do, I pull out this little paper called AAB. And I watch every month to see who's still supporting. I watched them preachers that stood up in that conference at Bryan Station and made some brazen statements. And I go down through here and I say, $100 a month. $50 a month. Now, what would you all believe about a fellow that stood up and said he believed something and then kept giving his money? So what I'm going to do, I'm not my brother's keeper in that sense, but what I'm going to do, some of these fellows, I'm going to say, are you going to continue to support this? If you are, we're going to support your missionaries. South Irving, Kentucky. $150, $30. And just go right down that list. I watch it every month. Well, there was one I told you, you know, that 1st of February, 12 Ryan dropped. And I told you about that. But anyway, I'm just telling you, and this is just getting right down to... The old senator said, tape it. I said, tape it. You know, I told him last week, and I said, y'all going to miss this. He said, tape it. I said, I don't want Sunday morning. And I said, I won't wait. I said, okay. All right. Lord willing. Lord willing, we'll tape it. Now, there's other things. And I'm thankful to be saved. But I'm also thankful to be a Baptist. I'm thankful to have been taught the truth of God's Word. And brethren, it grieves me. It grieves me when I see people go away from the truth. It grieves me. May God help us. May God help us in the day in which that we live to stand. To stand. Say, oh, I can't do much. You can do what God gives you to do. Do like Brother Peter. Stand. Stand for your convictions. That's not always the easiest thing to do. It's hard. But I tell you what. I'd rather stand against my own family. I'd rather stand against people that are my friends than to have to stand at the judgment seat of Christ and be ashamed. May God help us.